Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
But the sons of Belial, the original SOBs we talked about, shall be all of them as thorns thrust away, because they cannot be taken with hands. But the man that shall touch them must be fenced with iron, and the staff of a spear, they shall be utterly burned with fire in the same place. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had, the Tachbonite, that set in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino, the Eznite, lifted up his spear against 800, whom he slew at one time. David's men were supernatural. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo. No, I think that name I really wouldn't want.
Yeah, Dodo.
Yeah,
because, I mean, association with a bird, with, just everyday branding.
Yeah. The Ahohite, Dodo the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defiled the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle. And the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day. The people returned after him only to spoil. And after him was Shema, the son of Agi, the Harite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it, and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. Now three of the 30 chiefs went down and came to David in the harvest time under the cave at Dullam. And the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in an hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me a drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." And the three mighty men brake through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it. That is the sign of a true servant. You hear the king just say, "Ah, I remember how sweet that water is in the well of Bethlehem," and the Bethlehem's under the control of the Philistines at this time. And these three guys, "Hey, let's go get the king a drink from the well in Bethlehem."
Yeah.
"Well, there's 30 guys there. We're only three. Yeah, we have God with us."
Yeah, Hogan's Heroes moment.
Yeah. "That was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord." Wow. "And he said, 'Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives?' Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. And Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was chief among three, and he lifted up his spear against 300 and slew them, and had the name among three. Was he not most honorable of three? Therefore he was their captain. Howbeit, he attained not unto the first three. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabizdeel, who was done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in time of snow. And he slew an Egyptian, a goodly man, and the Egyptian had a spear in his hand. But he went down to him with a staff and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear." You know, that shepherd's staff was an amazing weapon with that little crook on the top of it.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen men demonstrate all of the fighting techniques that you can do with a shepherd's staff. And you can pretty much disarm most anyone with a sword or a spear.
Yep.
And I mean, and once that thing gets around your neck, you're done.
Yeah, you're done, yeah.
Yeah.
Being led.
Yep. "These things did Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and had the name among three mighty men. He was more honorable than the 30, but he attained not to be the first three, and David set him over his guard. Ashiel, the son of Joab, was one of the 30. Elihan, the son of Dodo, of Bethlehem, Shimei, of the Herodite, Elkah, the Haradot, Helez, the Paltite, Ira, the son of Ikish, the Tekoite, Abiezer, the Anathite, Mebani, the Hushite, Zalman, the Haphite, Maharai, the Nephthahite, Haleb, the son of Benaiah, the Nephtuathite, Itta, the son of Rebai, out of Gibeah of the children of Benjamin, Benjamin, the Parathonite, Hittai, of the brooks of Gabash. Oh, I got to take a breath.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Yes.
These are laborious portions. I was reading. All right.
Well, these seem especially special.
I, you know, here. Roll call.
Yeah.
Here, private, you read these names.
Right.
Abel of the Albion, the Arbathite, Azaveth, the Barhuite, Elahaba, the Shebanite, the sons of Jason, Jonathan. You know, if there's any critics out there, if all you find in my teachings is my pronunciation of the names, I'm batting a thousand. And Shema the Herite, Heman, the son of Shara the Herite, Eliphelet, the son of Ashabiah, the son of Mechathite, Eliam, the son of Ithophil, Gilonite, Hezriah the Carmelite, Ephrah the Arbite, Igal, the son of Nathan of Zobah, Benai the Gadite, Zalek the Ammonite, Nair the Berathite, armor bearer to Joab, and son of Zariah, Ira the Ithrite, Garab the Ithrite, Uriah the Hittite. That, you remember Uriah? And seven in all. Uriah was the husband of Bathsheba.
Oh, yeah.
The one that David had murdered.
Yeah.
You see that he is listed among his most valiant and trusted soldiers. What a crime and what a sin was that. And there's a whole teaching on Uriah, because Uriah was an absolute just man, you know. And David had him murdered to cover up his affair with Bathsheba. And that's why so much heartache came to David. He lost his kingdom, lost his son, and the sword has been in Israel's hand ever since today. It's amazing that David listed him here, but David's heart is right now. And this book says these are the last words of David. So he listed him because he was a righteous man. And I imagine a tear came out of his eye when that one was listed. Uriah the Hittite, 30 and 7 in all. Chapter 24. And again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. So the nation is not in the same state their king is. The king's heart is back with God, but the nation is not. God says, all right, I got to deal out some judgment here. There's stuff going on you don't even know about, king. But the king said to Joab, the captain of the host, which was with him, go now through all the tribes of Israel from Dan even to Beersheba, and number ye the people, that I may know the number of the people. And Joab said unto the king, now the Lord thy God add unto the people how many soever they be, 100-fold, and that the eyes of my lord the king may see it. Why doth my lord the king delight in this thing? Notwithstanding, the king's word prevailed against Joab and against the captains of the host. And Joab, the captains of the host, went out from the presence of the king to number the people of Israel. And they passed over Jordan and pitched in Aroer, on the right side of the city that lieth in the midst of the river of Gad, and toward Jazer. And they came to Gilead and to the land of Timhod-she. They came to Danjazan and about to Zidon, came to the stronghold Tyre and all the cities of the Hivites and the Canaanites, and they went out to the south of Judah, even to Bathsheba. So when they had gone through all the land, they came to Jerusalem at the end of 9 months, 20 days. We're talking probably 15 million people now. And they went out to count them. They did a census. And this wasn't like a card went out in the mail. These guys rode their chariots around the entire nation. And Joab gave up the sum of the people unto the king, and there in Israel 800,000 valiant men that drew a sword, and the men of Judah were 500,000 men. So that is a little off on my number, but
1.3. right?
Well, that's only men, though. That's only men. You got women and children.
That's right.
Women and children, so maybe 4 or 5 million. And David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. God had told in past time Judges and Moses and Aaron to number the people. God didn't tell David to number the people. But look what it says in early in chapter 24. Go to the very first verse again. Again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah.
So it kind of involuntarily came out. Or
it was an involuntary order by the king. God, which God does many, many times. God is in charge of good, bad, evil, holy, everything. He moved David to do this thing that would cause him to be able to chastise these people. And look what comes of it. And when David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, go and say unto David, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee 3 things. So God's saying to David, all right, I needed to do this, okay? The children are out of line. Your people are out of line. You know, it's hard for an earthly king to keep a nation of 4 or 5 million people in order. I never wanted you guys to have a king. I wanted to be your king. So I got to take control here for a minute and deal out some punishment. So the prophet goes and said, God says he's got 3 things and you're going to get to choose. And there is also a test in here. Choose thee one of them that I may do it unto thee, God says. But Gad came to David and told him and said unto him, shall 7 years of famine come unto thee in thy land? That's number one. Okay, you can have 7 years of famine and God will deal out his punishment. Or wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemies? Or I'll have some of the Philistines overrun your soldiers and you'll be fleeing from them for 3 months. While they pursue thee, or that there be 3 days of pestilence in thy land. Now advise and see what answer I shall return to him that sent me. God is also testing David here, although he wishes to deal out some justice to the people who are not following after him with all their heart. David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great. Let me not fall in the hand of man. So the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning even to the time appointed, and there died of the people from Dan even to Beersheba 70,000 men. Now it doesn't go into detail about why God wanted to deal out this punishment, but it was because of the adopted customs and gods of the people they left in the land of Canaan. When God said, go in, Moses said the same thing over and over again. Go in and remove all of the people. Don't leave any of them. But they wanted servants and they kept them. Now they're paying for it over and over again. They've already paid for it 3 or 4 times already. The gods of these other people were so desirous because it is a very excessive, you know. Oh, that God over there lets you have orgies.
Right.
There's the one I want to follow. Yes, but God said you shouldn't have orgies.
But that's a God I can get behind.
Yeah, buddy, let's go. And when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented from his evil. That's in this Bible dozens and dozens of times. Mm-hmm. The Lord repented from his evil. Oh, the Satan is the one that deals out evil. Satan works for God, even though he is an adversary of God. God has full control over him, but he needs to test all of the spirits that he sent here. This is a testing ground, Christian. This is a temporary testing life. The real life is what's to come. God is in full control of everything that happens. And he said to the angel that destroyed the people, "It is enough, stay now thine hand." And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing place of Asherah, the Jebusite. David spake unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people, and said, "Lo, I have sinned and I have done wickedly, but these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house. And there is a righteous king. Let me take all of the responsibility." And Gad came down that day to David and said unto him, "Go up, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite." And David, according to the saying of Gad, went up as the Lord commanded. And Araunah looked and saw the king and his servants coming on toward him. And Araunah went out and bowed himself before the king onto his face upon the ground. And Araunah said, "Wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant?" And David said, "To buy the threshing floor of thee, place where the temple will one day be, and build an altar unto the Lord, and the plague may be stayed from the people." And Araunah said unto David, "Let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be oxen for burnt sacrifice, and threshing instruments, and other instruments of the oxen for wood. All these things that Araunah, as a king, gave unto the king. All these things did Araunah, as a king, give unto the king." And Araunah said unto the king, "The Lord thy God accept thee." And the king said to Araunah, "Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. I will not take it as a gift from you, because if it is a gift from you, it is as a king giving to another king. I will buy it. Therefore, you will have nothing to hold over me. I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth not cost me anything." So David bought the threshing floor with oxen, and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. Ay, ay, ay. Thus ends 2 Samuel. And it's quite a story of the first two kings of Israel. And we'll get into the book of Kings in the next episode. Glad you could be with us here. But you got to remember, it's all about the heart. The only way David made it back to the throne was his heart was following after God, Christian. The only way you will have peace in this life is if your heart is following after God. The only way you will have monetary security is if your heart is following after God. You have a good heart, God will see to all your needs. If you have an amazing heart, he will see to your wants. He says so. "I know the desires of your heart, and I wish to give them to you, if you would only follow me with all your heart." Been good to be with you on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible with David and Jonathan on WBFF 97.7. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.